tie boxing. Come see the tights, watch how they fight with just everything. Their hands and feet and bows and knees. This is an art of boxing you would all love to learn. Suck them hard with your soul and then kick out and on. You said you don't, you said kung fu. Said karate. Forget them all. Here's something real. Come learn it now and be proud that you were born a man.
Ooh, ah. Thai, Thai, Thai boxing. Thai, Thai, Thai boxing. Thai, Thai, Thai boxing. Thai, Thai, Thai boxing.
Thai, Thai, Thai boxing.
I love that. That was awesome. Inkstead CITR 101.9 FM. This is the radio show where we talk about comics. This week, we're taking a bit of a sidestep. We are going to be talking about comics. I have a couple of cartoonists here. Robin Bougie, my good friend.
Yay.
Filthy buddy. And Phil Barrett.
Hey.
Get a little closer there, Phil.
How's it going?
There we go. They are both... Well, Bougie is the publisher and mastermind behind Cinema Sewer and Sleazy Slice. And today there's a launch for their new book coming out. And the third person I have in this room, Demetriotis, or is it Demetriodou?
That's my pen name is Demetrius.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's an old spelling.
The old world spelling.
Old school.
Old school. So, and Dimitri has a movie as well that he discovered that Phil drew a comic about in Cinema Sewer. So we have a bunch of Phil talk about today because it's a porn movie that he found. Cinema Sewer is all about filth. Phil, actually, his comics are very human, very thought-provoking, and for the most part, not filthy at all. But somehow he's here with these boys.
Unless he's doing comics that are in Cinema Sewer.
Unless he's doing comics in Cinema Sewer. And he's been in, how many issues now, Phil?
I was counting up and I've got about 12 pages altogether so far. So I think that's spread over four issues.
Four issues, which would be 4 years of Cinema Sewer. And I just realized something. You guys are all kind of color coordinated. Bougie's a little off, but it's too bad you can't see these boys.
They're all kind of purple.
They're all kind of purple.
Yeah.
So maybe that's... code word for something else today.
Purple helmet?
Some prints, maybe?
Let me start out before you start going there, Bouge. I was going to say, we got to have listener discretion be advised because we are going to be talking about smut. We're going to be talking about golden showers. A lot of stuff will be discussed because this is what Bougie, this is what Cinema Sewer is. And tonight at the Fox Cinema, after 7 o'clock, will be a launch for 4 pieces of terrible goodness.
Terrible gutter trash.
Gutter trash. You know, which goes in
the finest in filth.
The finest findings.
Yes.
In filth. So, really, if you don't want to listen to this kind of discussion, I recommend tuning back in at 3 o'clock and listen to Crimes and Treasons. But really, you should listen to us and learn something new. Because I know I'm going to today.
And it's better to listen naked as well.
Is that why you told me to take off my clothing?
That's why I'm naked right now!
Except for the matching shirts.
Yes.
So, tonight, Fox Cinema, 7 o'clock. What's going on, boys?
Well, we're going to have a launch party for the brand new Cinema Sewer, issue 21, which is the magazine dedicated to crazy porn, weird exploitation, horror movies, basically all the weirdest movies I can get my hands on. We've also got the 60-page anthology Sleazy Slice, which is a throwback to 70s, very politically incorrect underground comics. That's issue 2 that's coming out. We've also got the DVD premiere of a movie called Refinements in Love, which is film that was found at, the original film print was found at the Fox, and that's making its first look on DVD. I'm actually kind of excited just to see how many people are going to show up and want to get that movie, because it's really a movie that's been kind of like never really heard of before. Well, I mean, we'll talk more about that in detail. But and then the fourth thing we have is the Retardotron 2, which is the second one of those. It's a compilation on DVD of just the craziest, weirdest clips that myself and a friend of mine in Holland edited together, and that's also quite good.
I love the cover on this thing.
Yeah, it covers by this guy named Vince Roris from Holland. Really talented guy.
And if you are online, cinemasewer.com, do you have all the covers online? I know what the Retardotron is, but are the comic covers and the Cinemasewer
I'm
going
to be doing that tonight, but there is a link there right on the front page that links to my blog where everything is. So.
Okay, and that would be bougieman.livejournal.com?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cinemasewer.com makes it easy because who knows how bougie spells bougie. It's a bougie with the boogie. Now, before we actually get into questions, I want to talk about Thai boxing.
Mm.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's from a CD compilation called Thai Beat Volume 3. It's something I've been kind of searching for a few months and finally found a copy on eBay. Actually, the main reason I got it is because the cover art for the CD is one of the coolest covers I've ever seen. It's this weird Muppety looking crazy looking guy in a sweater, and he's got no teeth, and he's going rah! And then there's these like two girls in miniskirts, and they're grabbing his arms. They're either holding him back or elevating him in some way.
I think they're stretching his sweater.
Is that what they're doing? Okay.
I think he has no arms.
Okay.
Well, I think he had. Oh no, he has little fing. No. I think he's got no arms.
Anyway, I was completely engrossed with this cover and had to find out what kind of music was on there. And what you just heard is the kind of music that's on there.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thai boxing. Now, the first thing I actually want to get into, out of my own interest, is Dimitri, the movie. Tell me about the...
Refinements in Love.
Well, tell me about the search in defining it. Because I read the comic that Phil drew beforehand, and I don't want to give too much away, but I think it's a good story to tell.
Yeah, but it's also kind of exciting to be part of Phil's draw. I didn't know this was going to happen. I sent Robin some information about when I found this movie or the whole thing that went on, and it turned out I got to be a writer with a drawer, so it's kind of exciting for me to have a credit that way.
Is this your first comic?
Yeah. So that's really exciting. Yep. I found this movie at the Fox Cinema, and it's an old porn theater. We know that, and there's all these old porn movies there. But there's also there's this whole space behind the screen, and I'd been up there before to check on a speaker, so I knew it was there. And then when we were preparing to show the last movie we did, we showed Deep Throat, and.
I kind of wish we had the soundtrack for that here. Toss that off.
Yeah, and I told Lisa, the owner, I said, look, I have to check out some stuff. So I went back there, and I said, I want to have a look around. And I went in there, and sure enough, there was six of these film cans, I think six, with old movies in them that who knows why they stuck them back there. I guess they didn't like them. So I hauled them out, and we just put one on.
Yeah.
My friend Movie Mike had come up from Florida. He was a projectionist, and we put one on. And
yeah, we had the theater all to ourselves.
I think I even got invited to this, and I was unable to join you guys that
night. Could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was awesome, and I was just like, wow, this is amazing.
That was a night.
Yeah. Seeing on seeing that movie, and so we got this onto a DVD now because it's rare. None of us knew the movie existed.
It's through a company called Impulse Pictures.
Nope.
Just put it out on DVD.
what's so important about this movie? Why? I mean, you know, there's a lot of smut from the 70s. A lot of smut.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this one so impactful as being like, oh my God?
Good question. It's it belongs to a genre of kind of Mondo documentary where they wanted to show sex, but they had to have these socially redeeming values or some context where they wouldn't get busted. And I think they sort of also believed it, too. It was this sort of sex-positive message. So this guy, Carlos Tobelina, who was a director of, I guess, kind of sexy movies,
mm-hmm.
he later did make hardcore movies under the name Troy Benny.
Right.
Yeah. So, but this one is like in between the two. It's actually pretty hard.
Yeah.
It's almost all the way there. Let's put it that way. But it's also part of a whole other old world of very sterile depictions of sexuality and in a very.
And it's got Renee Bond in it, one of my top five hump actresses by far.
Sorry.
In the actresses in the genre of hump, top five.
She's a legend. Yeah.
Legend.
And so that was a bonus because she's not credited, or if she is, it's under a different name, so you have no idea she's in it. In fact, you don't really know who's in it because the credits don't show up until...
That's right.
What, 45 or 50, 40 minutes?
Yeah, and that was one of the craziest... We put it on, we're like, these reels must be out of order or something. We're like, it doesn't make sense. Why would a movie's credits come in 45 minutes into the film?
It's just theme song, everything.
It's just one of the weirdest things about it. And it's got all these strange elements to it. Like, there's a part where like an atomic bomb goes off.
Yeah. It's like, implying that if we don't have this free sex, that...
an atomic dong.
Atomic dong, yeah.
Now, Phil, this isn't the first thing you've done for Cinema Sewer, obviously.
Nope.
So tell me about some of the strips that you've done in the past.
Yeah. Well, this is probably the first one that's been... it's probably a bit more full on the sexy stuff. So it's usually, I sort of enjoy the opportunity to draw these because I don't get the chance. Or, well, I'm not as inclined to put this sort of stuff into my own comics. Or I don't really have the mind towards it, I suppose. I'm not, I wouldn't be quite as sexed up as my two co-partners here. But it's sort of interesting. This one is interesting in particular because I haven't seen the film. And I sort of like the idea of trying to depict it based on the story, you know, mm-hmm. sort of what I imagine that they saw and what they went through. So a lot of the people I don't have references for even, so that's sort of fun.
You did an amazing job considering. I mean, Dimitri and I were just talking about that actually the other day about, you know, some of the likenesses are just dead on, man.
It's the dirty writing, you see. So.
You can kind of guess what that person will look like just by the writing.
But some of the other strips we've done, there was one that Robin wrote about Miami Vice, which that one was a bit more straightforward. It was about a particularly sleazy episode. Of
Is
course.
That the girl?
That was the teen prostitute episode.
Tell people about that. This is one of your big fixations at one point.
Well, it really was kind of a defining moment for me in kind of careening, you know, where my interests would go. Because I was in junior high at the time. You know, a lot of people were watching Miami Vice, very popular show in the 80s. But there was this one particular episode which was just so sleazy. It was Tubbs gets involved with this teenage prostitute. And she ends up, kind of obsessed over each other and... the whole thing is just played out in such just like a crazy kind of way. And it was like, I don't want to give away the ending, but it ends really badly for her. And
Don Johnson.
And it really kind of ended putting that kind of that type of genre kind of into my perspective in a way. And so then I started searching out those types of movies, those types of that type of entertainment from then on. So going back and finding that episode, which has now been put out on a DVD box set, and tracking down the woman, now a woman, who played the teenage prostitute and letting her know, you know, what an effect she had on the young Robin Bougie. Man, that was like a thrill. And then getting to take that whole experience and then putting it down in comic book form, and Phil doing just a fantastic job depicting it, was a real treat too.
Oh, thanks.
Aw, you guys are all warm and loving. For the filthiest room in the Student Union building right now. It's like you're a nice group of guys. So how did you get hooked up with this filthy guy, Phil?
Well, it's the when I came over to Vancouver about 3 years ago, I was sort of trawling around looking for some like-minded comics fans, and I was sort of lucky enough to get discover that there was a comics jam going on, and basically I met a bunch of folks through that, Robin included, Ed Brisson, who you know, and Colin Upton, of course, and all the other cool dudes, and there's plenty, you know, once you get sort of in on it, it's such an amazingly supportive and broad scene here. Like,
it's a good community here.
Oh, it's awesome. I was blown away. Like, I mean, and it sort of challenges you to move on your own stuff as well. So, I mean, it's just taking advantage of the opportunities that have come my way. And this Cinema Sewer, it's great for getting my stuff out there, really, people seeing it.
Vancouver's like the Canadian Portland.
Right on.
No, yeah. Portland's like the American Vancouver, man.
Yeah, only... Wait, which one's not as hip? I'll go with Portland.
Yeah, why not?
So you got that story. Any other stories in Cinema Sewer in the past?
Yeah, there was one about women in prison, actually. That was based on a book.
Mm. The wonderful Brendan Graham cover issue.
Yeah, it was good.
There was a Bukkake sort of based one as well.
Oh, that's
sort
right.
About the myth.
The history of Bukkake. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was fantastic.
I'm gonna have to go back and see your stuff now. I didn't, you know.
And your website is blackshapes.com, right?
That's me. It's sort of my blog. It's just bits and pieces of daily stuff and sort of extracts from the projects I'm working on at the moment.
Yep. And Dimitri's got a website as well, which is realboogienights.com.
There we go.
A lot of focusing on the Fox Theater on the site. So if you want to, you know, search down the history of the theater, so there's actually a lot of history going on in Vancouver in terms of the porn theaters that are here. And now we've just recently lost the Venus, which I'm not sure some people have noticed. It's been torn down,
turned into condos.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me about some interesting tidbits of Vancouver sleaze history, Dimitri?
Vancouver was a late comer into the porn world in terms of movie theaters, because you couldn't actually have hardcore material shown in BC until like 1983. So this was like a whole second wave thing. It had all happened in the States, you know, 12 years earlier. Hmm. So we kind of got the leftovers, you know, but we were ready for
sloppy
it.
Sloppy seconds. Yeah.
You know, Vancouver, it was like, you know, when it happened and these people turned their theaters into X-rated movie theaters. I mean, they were successful. There was the Haida, which is gone now, the Fox, and then there was Venus Kitten, and then some other ones showing softcore. So for the city of our size, I'd say we had a pretty good selection of hardcore, and it's because we were Vancouverites were waiting for it.
Blue balls. We had blue balls.
Well, we're a very environmental city, so possibly they make green.
Green balls. Green balls.
Yeah. Oh. Now, you've done a lot of projects at the Fox over the past. Like, you brought, was it you that brought Ron Jeremy up?
I'm the Fox guy. It's my thing.
You know, Foxy Dimitri.
If I don't do anything else in my life, that's what's going to be on the
the tombstone. Yeah. He loved the Fox.
Yeah, you know, it's got to be Foxy Dimitri.
Yeah, if you want something to happen to the Fox, you kind of have to go through me. You know, really, I'm not, you know, but it's true.
Well, because he's one that speaks English, so.
You know, I can set it up.
Okay, so
I'm not talking about my own things, but just other things now. We had some people that got a hold of me, and they were doing one of those filmmaking 24-hour contests, and they were doing a noir thing, and they wanted to shoot at the Fox, and they had no luck, you know, speaking with the owner, with Lisa, of course.
Right.
But you know, and then she passes them off to me, and then I play, you know.
Well, before I met you, the first time I went into the Fox, it was Lee was there.
Lee. Oh.
And man, I have never had such a cold reception in walking into a building in my life. I had a camera around my neck, and I wanted to take some pictures. Because I was like, oh, I want to do an article about the theater for the magazine. And, dude, I swear, if he had had a broom, he would have fucking chased me out the door, beating me with it.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad it was.
I saw him escort people out, literally, and just practically shoved them out.
He's
the wife. He's the husband. Might as well be the wife. He's the wife of the owner. I think she married him. They came from China, and I think really she married him so she'd have a guy to work in her theater that she was investing in. And so he was there 13 hours a day, you know, loading up the movies, running up and down the stairs to take tickets. And so everything, one-man operation. Yeah, while she was, I don't know what she was doing. She was at home. He hated it. And he hated humanity, I think, as a result. So, but anyways, getting back to the things I did, I got friendly with those people. It took a long time. I got a translator.
Gaining their trust, remember, that whole ordeal of...
Oh, yeah.
It took years, man.
Yeah, but, yeah. I was just spending all this time, and then I approached him. I said, "Look, I want to do a show here," and eventually they agreed, and we showed Deep Throat, and it was like
sold out, right?
Oh, it was packed. Yeah. It was going around the block, man.
Yeah,
it
was amazing. Everyone was just. I think people were really curious about this theater, but a lot of people had gone in. Of course, they got a poor reception from Lee, you know, or they you know didn't feel comfortable, and I just happened to make it something where people could kind of go in a cultural context, and they all came.
Did you actually do some cleanup in the place? I know
I sprayed. I got some Febreze. That's right. Yeah,
I know. A little vacuuming. I know when Kayla had the theater going there for a while. She did a
crazy amount of cleaning.
But actually, and they also, and I'm not sure if I'm absolutely happy about this. They tore out that weird balcony.
Yeah,
in the back there's this weird. Jerry-rigged, not really a balcony, but a sort of a tiered thing at the back that someone had made with 2x4s, and it was just amazing. It was all decrepit.
Well, it was all rotting and falling apart. I think they were worried that they were going to get sued if somebody fell through it or something.
Yeah, it was definitely going, but that's where all the real seedy action was going on. Yeah. That was the place to be.
You were looking for the BJs. Yeah.
And just serious filth. So they took that out.
And you know what I think is the coolest thing, though? The women's bathroom, Scott Baio.
That was also something that happened from Kayla's.
She
had that commissioned. Yeah.
Oh my god! I thought it was just something crazy left over.
No,
just something to make the women feel comfortable in there.
In case you don't know what Robin's talking about, there's an amazing mural of Scott Baio in the women's bathroom, and it's quite a good likeness. Actually.
And men are allowed to go in and touch the mural too.
Yes,
yeah, we allow that.
Yeah.
So
that's all they're allowed to do.
And that's tonight. So that's tonight at the Fox.
Tonight at 7:00. Be there.
Can we blab a bit about that too right now?
I'm going to play a song and then we'll talk about the launch a little bit more. What track am I playing off here, Dimitri?
The first track.
First track. And what is this?
It's John Holt's version of Lou Rawls' disco hit, You'll Never Find Another Love Like Mine. It's produced by Sly and Robbie and performed by Sly and Robbie. It's great.
Alrighty. Here we go. Just us two.
another lover like mine. You keep searching and searching your whole life through. Oh, I don't wish you no bad luck, baby, but there's no if or buts or maybe.
Oh, hi, boys.
Hey.
They're chatting away. You know, it's a good radio show when there's comfortability and stuff, unless you guys only talk when the mic's off.
You get that sometimes, eh? Where you have guests on and they only feel comfortable when the mic is off.
Actually, no. Usually it's my co-host that asks questions when the mic is off.
Rough.
CITR 101.9 FM Inkstuds. This is the radio show where we talk about comics. This week we're taking a bit of a sidestep, but it is comics because we have two comic illustrators here. Phil Barrett, Robin Bougie, and porn connoisseur Dimitri Otis. Next week on the show, I'm hoping, if it works out well, Dave Sim will be our guest.
Woohoo!
Should be interesting discussion.
That's going to be a good show.
Yeah. Next month, we got Francois Moulet. I hope I pronounced her name right.
That sounds right.
I'm Anglophone. Dinah Schutz, Megan Kelso, and Phoebe Gleckner as well. It's the reason doing All Women is International Women's Day. So in March 8th, so March I'll be doing interviews with women, and I'm doing a special feature next month where I will have online exclusive interviews with some pretty talented young women. They're doing some great comics, including Liz Bailey, Sarah Oleksik, fantastic stuff. Mary Naomi, I think it's Mary Naomi, great cartoonist out of San Francisco, and Tatiana Gill.
Hey, you got it covered with the ladies.
Well, you know, it's most of the time it's bros, so occasionally...
Hoes before bros.
I did not say that word. just so you guys know, listener discretion is advised. Because
everything I say.
Yeah, pretty much. Every time I ask Robin a question, I'll end it with, and listener discretion is advised. If you are uncomfortable around poopy talk, luckily we don't talk about poopy. We talk about pee-pee. the next show is Crimes and Treasons, 3 p.m. Now, I'm going to go back to comics a bit and get Phil.
Yes.
Get there close to the
Hi
mic.
There.
We only have two mics for three guests. I get my own mic because, well, I'm the dirty bird. So tell us about your comics, Phil. Like, you got one thing published by Sparkplug in Portland.
Yep. Sparkplug, that's Dylan Williams of Sparkplug Comic Books. They have a broad range of stuff, really good books.
It's a small
unusual
publisher, but it's standard good everything by
yeah,
there.
There's top quality stuff there. That's they've got a great William Reich biography comic at the moment, actually.
What?
Which is excellent.
Wilhelm Reich?
That's the man.
The man who was...
Oregon
Box, yeah. I want me one of those.
Yeah, there's...
Burroughs like to smoke pot on top of his.
Yeah, that's... They published the Matter Summer Special, which is sort of a small format book with a lot of pages that I did, and a couple of other just self-published things then I've put out over the last while. Hopefully, I haven't really had a lot out in the last year. I just had one mini comic in 2007, but this year should be a little more, because I have a few books coming out in a couple of months and some anthology contributions, that sort of thing. So
sounds like some goodness.
Hopefully.
And maybe you might be at Stumptown if everything works out.
Might do. Right?
You should.
I this is me trying to convince him he should go. Yeah. Robin Bougie and I will both be in attendance. Robin recently shelled out the money for his table, and I'm just going to go there and drink, because that's what I do. Filth. Tell me about some of the stuff in the new issue of Cinema Sewer. One of the articles that really stuck out to me is P.
Yes.
What?
I've got the ultimate article on the history and the practice of pee drinking in the porn industry. And for the purposes of this article, I partook in a little bit of pee drinking myself. Over the course of several weeks, I drank my own pee every day. And let me tell you, it was an enlightening experience.
Well, tell us about the pee you drank. That's all right. We gotta know more.
Well, like, you know, I found basically I figured if I'm gonna write this article and I'm gonna be interviewing these people about, you know, pee drinking and porn, I better, you know, better get my mouth dirty, as they say. So you know, and I wasn't
put,
you know,
your money where your mouth is.
I wasn't chugging big gulp cups of it every day. I was just, you know, a little bit in my hand in the shower, and you know, just basically to figure out what. And I noticed, you know, actually a lot of things. There was all different types of elements to it, like depending on what I drank, how much water I had. I noticed that green tea Snapple made my pee taste really good, actually. Like, maybe not really good, but it tasted like water. So, you know, that's pretty good.
So, like green tea Snapple?
Yeah, dudes. Green tea Snapple. Get with it. Anyway, but, you know, I also did a couple interviews with people in the industry who kind of specialize in that. And that turned out good.
Matt Daddy was saying that he tries not to have too much stuff with vitamin B because I guess it makes his pee really gross.
Yeah. No smoking is good.
No smoking.
Yeah. No coffee.
Well, coffee dehydrates you.
Yeah.
So you need to drink some water with that coffee. So if you are doing water sports, as it is called.
And, you know, hey, it's actually, it's not bad for you. It's not like, you know, the whole idea that you're drinking something that's poisonous or whatever. That's just poo. Pee is actually, you know, totally, the poo is poisonous, the pee is not. That's my point.
It's considered a healing substance in some various schools of, you know,
yeah,
Western as well as more ancient Eastern practices.
There you go.
I love you guys. Now, the new Cinema Sewer does have a cover by New York sleazebag Danny Hellman. Sleazebag, is that a good way of putting him?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Bit of a douchebag. Bit of a douchebag. I love you, Danny.
Prince.
He's wonderful. I just like to say shit. Listener discretion be advised. Any particular reason for that cover? Or does he have a carte blanche? Just do me something that looks screwed up?
Yeah, we kind of chatted a little bit about what we wanted. And, you know, for the most part, Hellman is just so freaking talented. And, you know, just what he comes up with on his own, you know, half the time I just let him go and he does, you know, what he does, and turns out amazing. So
how did you two meet, Bougie, Dimitri? Were you guys wearing like matching trench coats at the theater one night?
I like the look of that. It covers a lot, doesn't it?
I'm like, those are some marvelous looking balls.
Who are you?
No, I was working in Sam the Record Man downtown before it closed. And Dimitri came in looking for soundtracks in the soundtrack section to having to do with porn and...
Porn soundtracks.
Yeah, porn and sexploitation movies. So, and I just happened to be the one that was in the store that knew all about what we had because I'd been, you know, rifling through it myself. I'm a rifler. I tend to rifle.
So what is one of the better porn soundtracks?
I am a really big fan of the Schoolmockton Report collection that came out on Crippled Dick Hot Wax is the name of the company. And yeah, it's good company. It's they're softcore movies, but this is some of the best early 70s funk kind of loungy mix type stuff. So it's very, you know, when you think of porn soundtracks, that this stuff comes right up. It's this composer named Gert Wilden.
Is that his real name?
I think it is. There isn't this stigma in Europe as much here as it is here. They didn't really use that many AKs.
Who would make up the name Gert Wilden?
Yeah, come on.
Anyways.
Dirty Jesus.
Sweet Jeebus. So you did a bunch, Dimitri, you did some work with Venus before it shut down, didn't you? Did you do any, manage to scoop stuff out, or were you given a wall?
Yeah, well, the whole thing, I mean, it's like a kismet type thing, because when I did the Fox thing, little did I know, but they had a relative, maybe through marriage, was running the Venus Theater, and so this guy approaches me.
This is a filthy, filthy family.
But they're not really. They're actually pretty straight ahead. They just happen to run this place.
Okay.
Strictly business.
Yeah.
So this guy approaches me. He didn't speak English, but somehow I got the message, you should do an event down at my theater. I've got a bunch of films. You know, because the Fox has 35mm films, this guy's telling me he has these movies. And I eventually went to what is actually his garage. They lived in just off of 25th and Main. And it kind of was like compiling a little list of all these films. I was just sort of helping them out, and he said, you want to buy them? So I ended up buying the entire stock of the Venus Theater's 16mm, you know, film, about 200 movies.
Wow.
And that's what they've been showing, you know, for the last, what, 20 years, I guess.
Yeah, just it's a history. It's a whole slice of it's adult film history because it goes right from the beginning to the public movies, which would be the very late 60s, to, you know, stuff that was into the 80s. And some odd stuff in between that, you know, probably wasn't fully legal, at least not in B.C.
We had some pretty strict laws here. Still do, to the, some ways.
Not as bad as Ontario did.
I think it's worse in the West, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just don't make any real gaffes by banning art movies here. They're smart enough to let those go through. But, you know, in terms of the adult video market, yeah, you can't have any kind of coercion or tie people up.
For the longest time, fisting was completely against the rules here. I love that image, sitting there thinking of the customs officials watching movies that come in and just, you know, counting the fingers. Okay, one, two, that's fine. Three, oh, fourth finger, that's fisting, and oh, that's banned. Like,
you know, or does the thumb make it fisting?
No, it was actually the fourth. Okay. Once the fourth win, that's why you didn't see anything with four fingers in any sort of orifices until 95. I love your laugh. It sounds like you're congested. I'm gonna fist you, mister.
These are the kind of details that Bougie is a specialist in. I would be oblivious to that.
Well, you put a lot of work.
You're oblivious to this.
Wow, you can take a lot to be straight.
Okay, I'm waiting for the phone to start ringing. You do a lot of work, putting a lot of work into your articles. It's how long do you spend on one of your pieces?
You know, a lot of them are kind of works in progress. So I've actually been known to spend as long as a year and a half just putting in research. My whole thing is I don't want to rush it just to get it out in time for an issue. You know, I'll wait, you know, until all the facts come in, and wait until I know the whole story. Or at least as much as I can get. Sometimes it's hard in this day and age, especially trying to verify facts online. Nobody is who they say they are.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I'll always remember every class I go to before we do papers, the prof's like, and Wikipedia is not a source. Yes, everyone's exactly. Like,
oh. But no, I mean, my whole thing is I try not to get too academic with it. I really want to keep it light, fresh, filthy. Fresh and filthy, But, you know, I mean, at the same time, I do want it to be well-researched, and I do want it to be informative.
What's been one of your more challenging articles?
Well, in terms of being challenged back by the audience, in this last issue, putting together in the previous issue an article about this movie Milo and Otis, which is a children's movie from the early 80s, mid-80s, from Japan that was brought over, re-edited, and had a Dudley Moore voice, the soundtrack put over where he was narrating all the characters' voices. Live-action movie about these puppy and a kitten. Anyway, I did a bunch of research on this and found out, to the best of my knowledge, that this movie is actually the only legal, commercially available snuff movie. In terms of the fact that many puppies and kittens were killed for the purposes of making the film. When you see a bear and a puppy and they're fighting, it's not any computer effects or anything. It's the puppy got eaten. So I did this article, and man, you wouldn't believe the amount of hate mail and really angry people. I got a lot of correspondence back this issue. I think, you know, I've never actually gotten that much concerning anything I've ever written in CinemaSewer.
And you write about some terrible things.
You know what? I think the problem here is that I challenge something from people's childhood. And I think people are very, very protective of their childhood memories, of their things that they hold. It's basically like, you know, walking into somebody's apartment and taking a poop on their teddy bear. So consider me the teddy bear pooper in this particular instance. And
or maybe telling them their teddy bear poops.
Yeah, that exact good point. Good point.
I wish my teddy bear pooped.
We can work something out.
Okay. Tonight, Fox Cinema at 8th and Main, 7th and Main, between 8th and 7th on Main Street.
Exactly.
Yep.
If you're out of town, I'm sorry, you won't be able to go. But cinemasewer.com is the best place to check this out if you're interested in checking out more comics by Phil, blackshapes.com. And let's talk a little bit about comics because we are a comic radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Sleazy Slice.
Yes.
Issue 2. Issue 1. Disturb some people.
Yeah.
Josh Simmons' story of a wizard.
Wizard rape?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was I didn't actually get as much correspondence on that as I was expecting.
I think people were just awkward.
I think, but when I did show it to people in person, just watching people's faces reading that comic was quite a trip.
The best is that's how Josh met his girlfriend.
Really?
Apparently that's what he said.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I don't need to pass on too much of that story if they're boyfriend girlfriend. I don't know. People are weird. So Susie Slice, it's your chance to do the nastiest, most disgusting things.
Well, there's no real censorship in this. I mean, obviously I'm not going to tackle underage issues, but everything in there is basically as far as go as far over the top as I can and encourage the other contributors as well. My story in it is I did like a 16-page thing about an alien brothel. Basically kind of tackled it like as if it was a real place that existed and kind of introduced the characters that are in it, and it turned out pretty good. I'm pretty happy with it. I spent a lot of time working on it, so.
The one story is just looking in the back, Journal of a Scientist. What's this? Who's the person you did this with? It looks almost like maybe you added the text on.
Yeah,
these pictures.
I wrote it and lettered it, and this amazing artist that I met online named calls himself Putrid did the artwork. Really, really talented guy. Specializes in a lot of death metal and hardcore metal graphics for CDs, and he does a lot of comics and stuff. Does band posters and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to do a horror comic and you want to team up with somebody, Putrid's your man.
Or if you need a cover for your latest Covered in Blood album or whatever.
Exactly.
What kind of response do you get from people with Sleazy Slice because it's so steeped in filth? I mean, looking back, the 70s underground comics, they look to some people as like a golden age and terrible goodness. But, I mean, some of them were just outrageous, outlandish, especially like...
Well, they were challenging the mores of the time. You know, they were really trying to see how far they could go, and they were pushing the boundaries and really to see, you know, who would push back. And in some cases, you know, some would say they went too far. I don't know. I would say they went as far as they could.
What are some that stick out? I know the Greg Iron story.
The Greg Iron stuff was amazing. that one comic he did with the takes place in the post-apocalyptic future where men and women have... basically gone into two camps and basically are fighting each other. It's basically like a World War IV. And he's got this one scene with this soldier, like a male soldier versus a female one, and she captures him and ties him up and feeds him his own balls. And it's just extreme, like really graphic. And the way it's done is so violent and upsetting.
I know that one story they did with Tom Veitch with the officer that was in charge of the... Mylai massacre was pretty outlandish and outrageous. That where they kind of mixed that with Charles Manson,
right?
Little weird cult thing and
Legion of Charlies.
Legion of Charlies. There we go.
Yeah,
highly recommend checking out. This art, Greg Iron's art, perspective by Patrick Rosencrantz, who Bougie and I had a chance to sit down with last year at some point.
Yeah, go back through the Ink Studs archive and listen to that one because that's a really good episode.
Yeah, Patrick is quite the scholar, and he has a new book coming out from Fantagraphics. It's a new edition of his Rebel Visions History of Underground Comics.
Woo!
If you don't have it, get it, because apparently he's a lot happier with the soft cover than the hard cover because he got to tweak some more stuff.
Oh, good.
But the book looks fantastic, apparently. I haven't seen it, but it should be good.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sleazy Slice... some of the other people in it. The one story that really stuck out to me looking at this is this Japanese one, which looks like if there wasn't so much filth in it, it belongs in Raw.
Yeah, it's an amazing comic. It's by this guy Shintaro Kago. As far as I know, it's the first time that it's been in print in English. It's been circulating around online. This is a fan subbed version. Someone has done subtitles on. Originally appeared in Japanese. But
So is this the actual proper translation, or do you think it was probably...
It's about as close as you're going to get. But yeah, I just basically found out about him online, and yeah.
Man. How do you get the rights for it? No one cares.
Didn't.
Well,
but thanks for bringing that up.
It really blows me away though, because like I say, it looks straight out of Raw. Yeah. And
no, I'm just, you know what? My thing with this is I'm a huge fan. People need to see this guy's stuff. He's never been translated in English. He's never been printed in English, which makes no sense to me. If I can get him out there and people to see his stuff, then that's what I'm going to do.
Richard McGuire, you have competition. The Little Hitler.
Little Hitler is...
It kind of sticks out as a little cartooning comparison to the rest of stuff in there.
This is SHK, and he's a comic book artist who died 10 years ago. And a friend of mine, Cinema Sewer reader Jan Bruhn, is basically looking after his estate. In terms of his art, and I got permission from him to reprint some comics, some Little Hitler comics that I don't think I've actually ever seen print in English, and and also wrote a really gorgeous tribute to SHK, just talking about his friend and his history and the stuff he was known for when he was alive, and I thought it was a really beautiful piece, and I was really proud to be able to print it.
Nice, it's a lot of love goes into this.
Yeah,
so another year. Another Cinema Sewer, another Sleazy Slice.
Yep.
And another Retardotron. The other thing being launched tonight. What do you guys think of the first Retardotron? Did you scar friends and relatives with it?
It scared me.
I wouldn't be able for it. I haven't seen it, I'm afraid.
What?
No.
Phil!
I've heard that a lot, actually.
It's too much. These things sort of, they repeat as nightmares with me, and I just couldn't handle waking up at 4 a.m, sweat running down my face, and like... I don't know. I sort of what I imagine is on it is probably much worse than what really
is. It's not that bad. Except I get rid of that Ghost Rider thing. That pissed me off.
Hmm.
The motorcycle scene?
Yeah.
It just never ended.
Actually, I didn't want to... We didn't know. We watched it one night. And it's kind of sporty, Robin. It's, you know?
Yeah. No, I know.
It's
you're a sport fan and they're...
Well,
you know,
you know, there was two of us that put okay. together all the clips.
Yeah.
And the sportier stuff, yeah, that was rules.
And he actually,
that was his contribution.
Yeah,
more. Okay.
There's definitely I've seen other mixed things.
I mean, the majority of the clips, you know, he came up with. So in the first one, for sure. So.
Oh, I see.
A lot of mixed things I've seen have been really bad mishmash of online stuff, or it's just there's no real quality. But your Danish homie, is he or Dutch? He's in Holland.
Yeah.
So he's Dutch. He does a wonderful job of mixing and editing to...
yeah, he's really talented.
To make it smooth. Are there any moments in Retardotron 2 that will scare the pants off of people?
Well, I don't know about scaring, but he did a really great...
Excite the pants off of people?
Did a really great job mixing a silly dances montage, which I really enjoy. Just basically found clips of just the stupidest, most ridiculous dancing, various forms of media, movies, television, dance shows, and mixed them all together to a song.
I
and
know.
It's just amazing the amount of the editing that they put in. Well, there's one part where these nudists are dancing around. They're like, I don't. What is it about nudists? They're always old and ugly. I don't know.
Everyone's just kind of quiet.
The naked of among us.
Yeah.
How can I ask? Like, I don't mean to.
Ask anything you want.
You know. So, how does this work? You pick up out clips, and there's another guy picks up clips, and then some other guy mixes them together. You don't do that. So is that how this art form works?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's mostly his baby.
Yeah.
I'm here on board in terms of distribution. He doesn't really have any way to distribute it. But, you know, I put in as much input as I can in terms of, you know, what should be in it. And we correspond almost nightly on MSN, talking about the next volume that we're working on. And he puts a ton of work into finding the clips and editing them. So.
Wow. Are you kind of an overseer or sort of a conceptual guy, like floating over it, sort of going, well, this is the vision of it, something like that?
I don't know. I think I do my bit. I'm a collaborator.
Because I just thought it was sort of you, and then you got these people to sort of do certain things that you maybe couldn't technically do, but really it's actually a...
Yeah, I mean, I hope I wasn't giving that, you know...
Robin Bougie, the auteur.
I mean, you know...
So what kind of treats are you going to have at the Fox tonight?
It's going to be a launch in the lobby, and then I think we've also got the balcony upstairs. And if you want to actually go inside, are we going to screen the refinements?
Yeah, well, I'll be showing the movie Refinements in Love. It's kind of returning to the theater, and there's a monitor in the lobby, and then we have access to the private balcony.
Yeah.
That's one with the toilet paper roll. It's very classy.
Yeah.
So people can go up there and have a look out and see it on the big screen. You cannot go into the theater unless you pay $9 to the owner.
Which you can if you want. That's your prerogative.
It's your prerogative.
But most of the party's going to be happening in the lobby.
How have they been with the events like that, where it's just you kind of take over the front of the house?
She's kind of cagey about it. She sort of leverages things out of me for it. Like, I have to vacuum.
he's on goo cleanup for the next couple of days as payment. Yeah.
Goo cleanup.
But we got a good thing. I mean, I go in. If she needs to take a break, she'll call me. I'll go work there, which I love.
Yeah.
It's great.
He always tells me all these great stories about people who come in. I mean, I work in retail over at Videomatica, and we don't get to see anywhere near as interesting
come on,
clientele.
Let's hear something.
Well, there was a couple of guys. I don't know if they were Asian. I don't know if they're Chinese. This guy came in. He was all enthusiastic. I remember these videos. I like this stuff. And he had his girlfriend with him, and he was all like, and they went in there, and then, you know, 20 minutes later, they come out. So you just, and they leave. So they've paid that money, and what are they doing for 20 minutes?
Maybe they just didn't enjoy the story.
Right.
Now, you got Ron Jeremy up at some point, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ron Jeremy hosted one of the nights. He loved it. I don't know how this all works. I paid him money, and he was just like, you know, pig and poop. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard he'll do anything for money.
Well, that's probably it. You know, but at the same time, he loved it because he was there, and we actually had all trailers of him, and he was hanging out. He actually really liked being in the old adult theater, and he has a lot of fond memories. And if I ever happen to talk to him, like sometimes I'll phone him, ask him something. He'll, how's the Fox doing? And blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So he really does genuinely love the old stuff. And
he got up there and did his stand-up type stuff.
Yeah, he did his shtick. I tried to go up and sort of steer it to something original. I just couldn't. I got nowhere.
He really fancies himself a comedian. It's kind of embarrassing, yeah. Actually.
And plus, he tried to basically solicit some action from one of my hostesses.
Oh, yeah, that's
on,
right.
While they're on stage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless Ron Jeremy.
Yep.
Gotta love him.
Absolutely. His book is really great. It's actually really good.
Yeah.
The library has it.
Here we go, Vancouver Public Library. Now, strike's been over for a while. You got no excuse.
Yep.
Go visit it. I think we're done, boys. How do you feel?
It was tremendous.
Tremendous.
Great. I feel a lot closer. I'm going to put my clothes back on now.
Who needs a cigarette?
Magic.
Magic. We're going to end off the hour with a little Thai boxing. No, not Thai boxing. Thai beat. What track number, Booge?
Let's put on... Where is the Love by a band called Flash, track 11.
Find out if it's a cover or not very soon.
Track 11, okay. Well, thank you very much, boys. Next week, Dave Sim. And, I'm feeling good.
Thank you.
Come to the launch party tonight, 7 o'clock.
Robin. Cheers, dude.
Woo!